This is KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. The outbreak of Legionnaire's disease at San Quentin State Prison in the last week sickened six inmates and sent dozens more to the medical ward. The disease, which can be transmitted through water, forced plumbing shutdowns at the penitentiary. Kenny Bryden is one of the inmates who was treated for symptoms, including diarrhea. He phoned KALW contributor Nancy Mullane to talk about how the disease has disrupted the prison.
It's a journey, definitely, and taking this out of all the programs, but they're going to start allowing us to get some of our privileges back, but all the volunteers are not allowed in, and so we're kind of like dead in the water in a lot of levels.
We've heard concerns from the prison about overflowing portable toilets and dehydration due to shortages in bottled water. You can hear the conversation between Kenny Bryden and Nancy Mullane in its entirety at KALW.org. Find her work at the podcast Life of the Law. Well, many of our colleagues have been affected by this health crisis. They're the journalists working on the San Quentin Prison Report.
The San Quentin Prison Report.
Bringing you hidden stories from life inside.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell. You see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You can hear a pin drop.
Today, we'll hear from reporter Tommy Shakur Ross about the unexpected bonds that can exist between inmates.
In spite of the divisions along ethnic and religious lines, the community here at San Quentin is relatively interconnected, so it isn't uncommon for prisoners to befriend one another who share different religious beliefs.
My name is Isaiah Thompson Bonilla. Most of the brothers know me as Abdul Rahim. I am Muslim.
My name is Derek Holloway. I'm a minister, ordained pastor. I function in the ministry here.
Rahim and Holloway are two prisoners at San Quentin, a Muslim and Christian. Rahim explains that at first, they were acquaintances. They were introduced through a mutual friend about 4 years ago.
We would always acknowledge one another when we seen each other, always in passing, but maybe a minute or two conversation here or there, a laugh and a joke, and then we'd be on our way.
Then something happens that challenges their association. Rahim says one evening in his cell, while looking through his things, he rediscovers these old newspaper articles from 20 years ago.
And they were newspaper clippings. One of them reads, ex-Black Panther testifies in shooting. And the other one reads, prosecutor describes victim's final minutes. So when I ran across these two documents, I decided for sentimental reasons to just kind of reminisce and read them.
The newspaper articles detail the killing of Raheem's beloved uncle. Rahim says he kept them for only one reason.
I was on a prison yard when I got the news that my uncle was murdered. And from that very moment, the one thing I wanted to do was take revenge. I wanted to murder that person that murdered my uncle.
While reviewing the articles that night, he notices something about the name of the person who killed his uncle.
And when I read the first name, that it dawned on me that the Holloway that I had befriended was potentially the very person who murdered my great uncle.
Rahim's no stranger to violence. He says he's in prison for 2 counts of attempted murder and 5 counts of armed robbery, and that he's also a former special ops combat veteran. So when Rahim realizes that Holloway is in prison for murdering his uncle, he says that he immediately went into conflict with himself.
I began to teeter on that old thinking that if you harm anything of mine, then I must harm something of yours. If I can't get to you, I'll get someone that is close to you. That will even the score.
The very next day, Rahim calls a family friend. Although he doesn't go into detail, he tells his friend that he's faced with the most challenging experience since being in prison. The friend then contacts Raheem's mother. And when Raheem calls his mother later that day, he says she somehow knew exactly the challenge he was facing.
That was that mother's intuition. I haven't talked with my mother about the murder of my uncle in probably 20 years, but she knew right away. The first words out of her mouth was, "You ran into that boy who killed your uncle, didn't you? And no matter what you do, you can't undo what happened 20 years ago. I know what you're thinking." She said, "Derek is not the same man he was 20 years ago, and neither are you."
And Raheem is in agreement. He's not the man he was 20 years ago.
I sat in that for a moment. It didn't undo the feeling I had inside me, but it made me come to reason with what actions I needed to pursue going forward.
After talking to his mother, Raheem says when he first saw Holloway, he intentionally kept himself from confronting him. But he saw him again later in the day.
As I passed the chaplain's office, Chaplain Jackson, she spoke and waved, and somehow I ended up right at her desk. And I began to tell her that I come across some information the night before that brought back a lot of grief, pain, loss, and anger.
Holloway says he was in the chaplain's office when Raheem walked in. And because a lot of prisoners often seek counsel with the spiritual leader, he began to leave the room out of respect.
And he asked me to stay. And he began to talk about this experience of him going through his paperwork for his commuting of his sentence, and began to grab things and begin to look at his newspaper clippings. And one of those newspaper clippings was about his uncle.
The case that you're convicted on and the reason why you're in prison today, the victim in that case was my uncle, Brian Thompson.
I begin to feel this overwhelming sorrow and being face to face with the crime that I committed.
And he just dropped his head and I just let him sit there for a moment. At this time, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but it was just something on my heart that I had to get off, because just sitting on it and not saying nothing was eating away at me in a negative way.
And he was a man that I respected, that I have grown to like, and I had committed this atrocity against his family. And there was nothing that I could do to make it better.
He looked up, his eyes full of tears, and he just told me how sorry he was. And I could see it, I could feel it. And I was emotional. And I told him, I said, I don't really know where this is coming from, brother, but I sit before you today, and I can honestly say that I forgive you.
To witness reconciliation and forgiveness in action in real time.
That's Protestant chaplain Marty Ralph Jackson.
It filled my heart to overflowing, because that's really the Bible in action. As Raheem began to talk to Derek, Derek was humbled and broken. And Raheem, he extended grace and mercy in a way that you don't always see with two men.
As for the Muslim Christian aspect,
I'm happy that he's a Christian. I'm overjoyed because it has allowed him to be the person you see sitting before you today. Had he not done that, my feelings towards him may be different.
He is such a leader, so I know that Islam has played a huge part in that. And so it gives him a vehicle to be able to express what God has done through him and in him.
But most of all, Raheem says Holloway's helped him avenge his uncle's death.
He has helped me to murder the person who has murdered my uncle, because he no longer lives. This man is a different individual. And I want everybody in this room and whoever hears this broadcast to know that.
Thank you. Thank you. Because he's truly dead. I thank God that he has given me the gift of forgiveness. You know, and it's a gift. and I will not squander it.
So there you have it, a nephew's forgiveness. I'm Tommy Shakur Ross with the San Quentin Prison Report.